Blog Talk Radio.
When he rose up the seas, the angels putting on the wrist. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
The night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Amen, folks. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Love the words. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Good evening, folks. Thank you for joining me today. Today is Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver who loves the Lord. And just wants to share his love with you tonight. Folks, our world is a crazy place today. Crazy. It's a world where I think the Christians have kind of disappeared. I'm not saying all of us, but it just seems like they've slid in the background. And so tonight I'm going to do a show. What I'm trying to do tonight, folks, is I'm just trying to get us all thinking, and I want us to start critically thinking about the way the world is, and us as Christians and who we are to be. Are we to be like the world? Are we just to be in the world and making a difference, changing, being the light for Christ? And so tonight, title of my show, Critical Thinking for those who love God. And again, like I said, we live in a world, it's taken away many, many of our freedoms. And it continues to take more and more and replace it with a world where we just have to comply with the mandates that we kept getting hit with, the mandates to lock down, shut down the stores, the mandates they're trying to push now. President Biden announced about a month ago forced vaccinations for everyone. Mandates for everything. It's just at a point now I don't even feel like we're living in a free America. It's becoming more like a socialistic dictatorship. And if we don't stand up, if we don't stand up soon and say enough is enough, right? We need to say enough is enough. And I know each of us is just one, but we can make a difference. And I just hope that you'll join me tonight, discuss the state of mind of the American citizen, and particularly the Christian in America. Many of us have seemed to have lost that spirit of freedom. And right now, I think a lot of us are just playing that game. Go along, get along. Our government can't be that bad. Well, folks, I'm going to say, yeah, our government is bad, and it's getting worse, and it's up to us to make a difference. Amen? Amen. I mean, what I want to say, folks, is, again, the people in American society, we've lost ability to critically think. And I think one of the things that has stopped us from doing that is fear, right? The whole media drive lately with the COVID and the vaccines and the inflated numbers on the deaths, this is all to put fear in our hearts. And so what does God say? He says it in Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. So what the media has done is it's put that for God, passion for his ways, and willing to stand up against fear. What's the opposite of fear? I would say faith and love. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith tonight. That's what's missing in so many of our hearts. Of course we have faith. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But things in this world, the media, the government, the mandates, all of this is pounded on us. And a lot of people right now, like I said, go along to get along, and they're living in fear, right? People wearing masks everywhere. Another thing is, I've noticed that there's been a lot of good doctors with opposing opinions on the virus and the way to treat it. And a lot of these other solid, good doctors, like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Richard Fleming, Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Jane Ruby, Dr. Richard Bartlett, so many doctors with ideas have been censored by the main media. And so it's a struggle. But yet there is a source. There are sources out there that we can go to get information. And what am I saying? I'm saying that we need not bury our heads in the sand. We need not go along to get along. What we need to do is, okay, as a Christian, I want to live a good Christian life, a good way of life. And part of that good way is a healthy life. And we need to critically think about the things they're telling us, the main media, right, the government, you know, the presidential conferences and other blips that are out there that are poo-pooing all the other ways to treat COVID. And I am just talking right now about COVID, but it's also about just the way the government's being run right now. You know, there's other issues too I can talk about. I don't want it to become totally a political thing tonight, but what I do want to say is that we as Christians, what does it say in 1 Timothy 4:7? What are the words of Timothy? I did not give you, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Amen. So I'm calling you, folks, that if you find yourself in a state of fear, know that you have the Lord, fear not, for he is with you. Amen. And he has given you a spirit of power, right? Power to believe that he's behind you. Power to believe that no matter what happens, that the Lord is always with you, right? And the power of Christians United, amen? And then love, but always trying to do it in a loving way, not in a destructive way, but do it in a way that, you know, whoever that opposition may be, you would truly attempt to do it in a loving way. And then sound mind would be God giving you the ability to think clearly over these matters and knowing what you seek in America for our country, for our family, right? For our community. We want a good life, right? A godly life. But yet we can't go along to get along. We need to think critically. We need to think and express our ideas. Where would we go? How would I do it? Get together with friends, with neighbors. How about going to a school board to express your opinions and opposition to things that a school board might be doing? Or maybe going to a city board meeting and expressing your opinions that you don't agree with some of the things that they're doing, right? We need to be active Christians, active citizens. And that involves critical thinking, not get along to go along. Amen? Amen. And again, as a solid Christian, right? And again, God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? Fear not, right? Lord tells you, I am with you. And as an American citizen, we have freedoms. First Amendment, freedom of speech, right? And aren't we allowed to, in a civilized way, to oppose and ask questions, right? Aren't we allowed to criticize issues and actions that go against what we believe in, right? Involving our children and the way they're schooling them, involving the way the government is running our government, how they spend our tax dollars, questioning the way the hierarchs are running the whole government and mandating and threatening people. They don't take the vaccine, they'll lose their job. And so many already have, as we all know. And one day they may be knocking on your door and your job will be lost too. And then what comes next? Are they going to force us with some type of app on our phone to show that we have a vaccination passport so we can buy or sell and travel? Doesn't that kind of sound like the book of Revelation? Doesn't it, folks? That they were not able to buy or sell if they did not have the mark. Now here we are today, they're talking about if you don't have a vaccine passport, right? You can't buy or sell, like in California, New York, that's already happening. And eventually they're going to have a vaccine passport to fly. So if you want to fly to visit your relatives, so sorry, you don't have the vaccine passport, you're out of luck. Is this a free America? Or we're mandated to do what they say? We can't question an emergency use authorization vaccine. I think there's something definitely wrong. We do have a right to question, and we shouldn't have to be mandated and forced to get a vaccine so we can get our vaccine passport, so we can buy or sell, so we can fly. That's not America, folks. So again, I say that involves us, people who love God, who love a life, a good life, a life that pleases God, and also a life that would give us freedom, our health freedoms, our economic freedoms, our travel freedoms, right? That's what America is about. So, folks, what I'm telling you tonight is we need to get more critical. We need to think and act. And I'm not saying act in a violent way. What I'm saying is organize, even if it means several of your neighbors or your friends or whoever, and you have to go to some type of board meeting and protest, right? In a civilized way, of course. Amen. Amen. You know what I want to do, and then I'm going to take a little break. is I've got a few verses, and this is all of here. Little glitch there, sorry. These are verses all related to fear. Isaiah 41:10, which I already replied. Do not fear, I am with you. Psalm 23, verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's a strong one, folks. I'll say that one again. That deserves repeating. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That one I want to kind of reply on briefly. So what is God? Okay, we look at the Bible as a believer in Christ and believer in God. You believe in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you believe that the Word of God is true, right? All Scripture is inspired, right? That's what it says in Timothy, in the book of Timothy, and it also says in the book of Peter that all Scripture is inspired by God, right? Written by man, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we read these words, we know it's talking to us. Amen. Again, okay, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So what would keep us from having knowledge? Right? We need to seek knowledge. Well, the first thing would be we'd pray for, right? Lord, give us knowledge, give us wisdom, and guide us, right? How else can we find knowledge? Well, we'd read the Word of God. I don't think one word in this book doesn't give us some type of knowledge, some type of wisdom, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Right? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, those are powerful words. So if I read those words, come to faith in Jesus, now I have the knowledge in my heart, right, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Now that's pretty precious knowledge to have in your heart, isn't it, folks? So reading God's word gives us knowledge. Finding the right sources of news. You as a Christian, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, you know what's good, right? What's bad. And so, you know, you listen to some of the newscasts, you know they're lying, they're telling stories, and you know that's not true, especially if you're familiar with that person or that story. So you see a lot of bad sources of news, but yet there's many good sources. You can go on TV, or you can go on the internet and find good sources, and then that gives you knowledge. Right, and that knowledge will help you from not perishing, but to live and live for God in a beautiful way. Amen. Amen. And then I'll end it with two more verses, one from Ezekiel and one from Isaiah, and then we'll take a short break, and then we'll come back. I want to do honor. I lost a dear friend about a week ago, and I just want to honor him on the show tonight. When I get back, the last two verses I'll read, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. So the Lord calls us, right? His words tell us we are his sheep. And who watches over sheep? Or many sheep, who watches over them? The shepherd. In John chapter 10, it talks about the good shepherd. Jesus is, right, the good shepherd. And he tells us here that we are his sheep, we who believe and follow him. And then one more verse I'll read. This is also from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 11. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Again, I'll say those words again. They're beautiful. He gathers the lambs in his heart, in his arms, carries them close to his heart. So we look at Jesus, as I said, in John chapter 10, talks about the good shepherd. So when we read these words, I think of Jesus. And so these words are telling us that Jesus holds us in his arms, right? Just think of Jesus giving us a nice, strong embrace, right? He holds us firmly and in a loving but yet protective way. And it also says he carries them, right? So he carries us, you know, and I like to think of sometimes we walk with the Lord and sometimes he carries us, right? And there's times where we're so beaten down, right? We're so weak, we're so weary, whatever, right? That we can't even walk anymore. So the good Lord, he picks us up in his arms and he carries us close to his heart. And you've always heard that word, you know, if someone really loves someone, they're in their heart, they're close to their heart. And that's what Jesus is telling us in these beautiful words, that he carries us in his arms. He carries us in a loving, firm way, and that he also carries us close to his heart. So it's telling us he really loves us, right? We're in his heart. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I'm reading these verses because what I'm trying to kind of coincide, I've got a Christian show going on tonight. It's a little bit political, just a little bit. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, I think of Jesus as beautiful and loving and caring and wise and the man who healed, the man who suffered, the man who embraced his apostles and all his family and friends, right? Yet there was one part of Jesus, he was critical too. Do you remember the time where he went into the temple? He didn't like what was going on. That the money changers, they made his temple, the temple of God, into a den of thieves, Jesus called it. He was angry, he overturned the tables. He took the whip out. So I would say that if Jesus can be critical, and I'm not asking you to get the whip out right now, but what I'm saying is if Jesus, and you could see in this instance, he was critical because he told them, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. And same thing, the people, the worldly people of this world have made this world that God had blessed us with, it's a den of thieves, liars, murderers, right? So it's time for us to get critical. It's time for us to stand up, right? Jesus stood up. He honored his father's church, his temple. It's time for us to honor this world that God so beautifully created, right? He created the family. What is this world doing? They're destroying the family. Amen? God created the beauty of the world. And what is this world doing? The ones that are running it with all their money, they're destroying this world, right? What is the world done? We have a beautiful immune system, all of us, to stand up against disease and everything. As long as we have the wisdom with the right treatments, our bodies can heal naturally, right? What is the world done? Big pharma and the big biotech and the big health organizations, what have they done to the world? They destroyed our bodies. In America, 5% of the population, right? 50% of the drugs taken in the world is taken by the American people, and yet we're only 5% of the population. Something wrong with that picture, folks. I think they're pushing. They got an agenda to sell drugs and whatever else they're putting on us, right? So Jesus got angry. Righteous angry is good. And it's time for us as believers in Christ, who believes in his beautiful creation and believes in his beautiful ways, to stand up. Jesus stood up against the money changers in the temple. Amen. We can stand up against the thieves, the murderers, right? The liars that continually destroy our beautiful world that God had created. And to that I say amen. Amen. I'm going to take a little break. And when I get back, I'm going to honor my dear friend, Russ Dizdar, who passed away about a week ago. I'm going to play a Christian song. I'm going to focus on praise tonight, folks. So hope you enjoy. Be back in a couple minutes. Thank you. All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed. God so loved the world. Right? He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Now I say there's no spirit of condemnation in Jesus, but a spirit of love. Right? He desires that you know him and that that he can he would open the door of your heart and he could walk in and dwell with you and you with him and dine with him and you with him. And speaking of dwelling and dining with the Lord, I mentioned I lost my friend Russ Dizdar, and my deepest condolences to the family, to his wife Shelley, and to his daughter and all other members. I didn't know Russ really well, but Russ used to do a lot of conferences, and he probably had still done more recently. I hadn't seen him for a couple years. The last time we ran into each other was down in Dallas. There was a big Christian conference, and Russ was just a mighty man of God. He loved God so much. And the verse I quoted, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I read that verse and I think of Russ. I think of Russ Dizdar. And he was a powerful, loving, sound-minded man of God. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He took on evil spirits. He was called to take on the bad boys, the demons coming out of Hell's Kitchen. I know I'm talking some people might think, wow, some crazy words. No, Russ was a beautiful, loving man. He had a heart of gold. He loved God. He cared for others. I remember going to a few conferences. And one conference, one of my friends' friend came there because she was struggling with deep depression and some really bad abuse earlier in her life. And Russ prayed over her and blessed her, and I could see it really did make a difference. And it didn't matter, stranger or friend. He loved everybody. And his main mission was he wanted everyone to know God. He wanted them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And he was a beautiful man, and he will be missed. His wife, Shelley, a wonderful lady. She had her women's ministries, and I pray for her and their daughter, who's quite a young lady right now. Pray that the Lord comfort them and be with them as they go through this terrible time. But yet, what I thought about when we were singing the praise song, how God reigns from heaven above, right? And I just can imagine the big smile on Russ's face. You know, he's in heaven with the Lord, right? One time, when my wife Judy passed away from cancer, I told there's another evangelist who's pretty common on Christian internet, David Langford. I told him, I had told him that my wife had passed from cancer, and he's sorry to hear, but he did quote the verse. Blessed are those, or the Lord delights. This is, I wanted to correct. It's in the Psalms, but right now I just can't remember the place and verse, but it's in the Psalms where it says, the Lord delights in the death of his saints. And those are beautiful words. Yet as a survivor, like my wife Judy passed away, I'm here. I'm still mourning. are like with Russ Shelley and his daughter and family and friends are mourning his loss. Yet the Lord says, the Lord delights in the death of his saints, because when they die, you know, the old saying, when someone dies, person of faith, they're in a better place. And I know Russ right now, he's got a big smile on his face. And I know he's right now feeling no pain, all the aches and pains and the battles that he's went through in this rugged life we live here on earth. And I'm just going to close with a prayer for Russ's family, and then we'll move on with the show. Thank you for your patience, and I pray that you would also say a prayer for Russ Dizdar and Shelley Dizdar and family and friends. Dear Lord, thank you for the time that I did to spend with Russ and Shelley and all his friends. And it's sad to see him go, but the verse I quoted, the Lord delights in the deaths of his saints. And I know that the Lord is delighting and enjoying, and as is Russ, he's delighting in the presence of the Lord. And I just pray that you would comfort his family, Shelley and his daughter and friends and immediate family, and to be with them. And just to thank you, Lord, that I got to know him a little bit, and that he was such an impact in this world as a man of God who loved you dearly and was not a man of fear. He was a man of power, of love, and of sound mind. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So as I mentioned in the first part of the show about how important it is that we as Christians, we that love God, that we love the world that the Lord created, the beautiful world, right, that I had talked about, that we need to be part of restoring that, help restore it, help fight for that, to return to what a blessing the United States and all the God-fearing countries are to the people of the world. And so I am making a plea that we all become more critical in a godly way. And that would be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And again, Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. The Lord is with you. He's with me. He's with my brother Casey. He's with all believers. He's with my son Scott and his wife Laura. He's with my son David and his wife Missy. He's with my son Rick and his wife Ariel. He's with all those who believe in him and fear him. He's with you. Amen. Amen. So, get a text, my and that's part of living a life as a believer in God and living your life for him, not just looking for blessings, but also looking to live your life for him. And I think of the word passion. You know, there was that great movie about Jesus, and it was called Passion. And one of the things they talk about when they say the way, the station of the cross is the passion of Christ, right? And that word passion means, okay, I have a passion. I have like this beautiful intense love. Like I might have a passion for sports, or I have a passion for my family, my wife, my kids, right? So anyway, my brother sent me a text, my brother Casey, and he texted me about where in the Bible do they talk about the Lord spitting you out? Okay, so that's in the book of Revelation, and let me see. I'm gonna get it here real quick with me. I think it's like around chapter 18. No, it's chapter. It's earlier. I'm sorry. Don't mind me. And Jesus in the book of Revelation, he's talking to the churches early in Revelation. Chapter 1, chapter 2, And I'm trying to find it here. Bear with me. Hold on 1 second. Okay, it's Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. I apologize for that little delay. Okay, so my brother had asked, where in the Bible does it talk about that the Lord is going to spit us out? It sounds kind of like, wow, that bad, huh? Well, Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it says, so, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit out of my mouth. So the good Lord is telling the church of Laodicea, one of the many churches that he talks to in the book of Revelation, he's just saying, you know, just like any relationship, if someone, you know, a marriage or a friendship or whatever, that person's just kind of like blasé, you know, blasé affair or whatever, you know, they're kind of just blah, you know, the relationship's just kind of stale. So the good Lord, he loves passion, right? I mean, so he wants us either to be full of like extreme passion one way or the other. Let me feel your heart. Let me see the passion you have for me, for God. Let me see the passion you have for the church, all the people that love me. Do you have the same love for them as I do, right? What did Jesus say to Peter, and after Peter had denied him three times, right? And Jesus said, after the cock crows, right? You'll know you had denied me three times. And Peter went away and bitterly wept. He felt so bad that he betrayed Jesus. And so even Peter, right? Jesus forgave him and restored him, filled him with the Holy Spirit. And one time Jesus was alone with Peter, and he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? He says, do you agape love me? Do you love me with passion deeply, right? And Peter was kind of hurt because Peter said, you know I love you, Lord, right? And so maybe we can see Jesus asking us, like Casey, my brother's name, Casey, do you love me, right? Do you love me? And, you know, Jesus asked Casey three times, or asked me three times, because he wants to know, do you have passion for me? Do you love me with, you know, do you love me with just all your heart? And so where am I going now? This is a great question, Casey, because what I'm saying is now, we've talked about God hates our lukewarm love for him. He'll spit us out, right? He wants passion. And what does it take to be a critical type thinking person? You need to have passion for whatever it is, right? Maybe you don't like the way the public schools are starting to teach our kids. So you love your kids. You have a passion for them, right? So you're going to go and protest to the school board. You and your parent friends or whoever, you're going to go and say, listen, this is not right teaching our kids this. Or you may go to a city board and you don't like the laws they're passing, the overtaxation or whatever, and you've got passion because you want your money, your taxes to be spent wisely, right? So you and your neighbors, your friends, you go before the school board with passion under control and say, listen, we're being overtaxed. You're spending our money foolishly. I don't like the way you're teaching our kids, right? Or whatever. And it's done with passion, but yet controlled. What am I saying here, folks? Today is, I think we can't just kind of like get along to go along, right? You're going to get run over. We're going to get run over. Before you know it, we're going to wake up in a socialist, communistic, Marxist state. I mean, you listen to some of these leaders now, and they're acting like dictators. You have to do this. You have to do that. Wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm the boss. My tax dollars pay you. Whoa. Hold off again. Sonny, just hold a minute. We're going to have a discussion. You're not mandating anything. This is getting before the Congress or the Senate or whatever. This ain't happening, Buster. You don't run the world. This is a democratic republic. So, whoa, let's go. We're going to have a discussion. So what I'm saying, we have our faith, right? We have this great experiment America that's been put together. It's been lasted for now, what, 245 years? And now it seems to be crumbling. And I'm not going to say go along to get along. It's time to get up off our hinies, right, our butts, and start getting more critical, getting more passionate, and say, listen, you work for us, Buster. It's sounding like they're telling us what to do, and that they're our bosses. No, we're their bosses. We pay the taxes, right? Give us a spirit of timidity, right? I love that. We're not timid. Well, let's not be timid creatures. Let's not be timid. My friend Russ Dizdar, he was not a timid man, let me tell you. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man of power, love. Even though he was a man of power, he loved you, and he also had a sound mind. He knew God's word, and he knew where he was coming from. Amen. Again, I'll read 2 Timothy 1:7, folks. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, sound mind. Amen? Amen. I'm going to read a verse. I always read it because for all you folks out there that are listening, kind of hanging on the fence, you know, you kind of believe in God, but you haven't given your heart. I've read this so many times on my show. I'm going to read it again. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Amen. Folks, I think one of the favorite things that the good Lord loved to do was have a good meal with his friends. You know, I think now, you know, everyone's into fast meals, right? Pick up a sandwich, 10, 15 minutes, be on your way. But Jesus was into a good meal, and he wants not have a good meal with you. He wants to have many good meals. So open your heart with him. He says he will come in. He will dine with you, and he will dine with you and you with him. That'd be cool. Can you imagine that? Jesus was knocking at your front door. Maybe he rang the doorbell and you saw a guy with a beard, kind of middle-aged, and he looked, couldn't figure him out. Opened the door, and for some reason, your heart told you, I'm going to let this guy in. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit moved you to ask him if he was hungry. And he said, sure, I'd love to sit down and have a meal with you. And what would you do when he sat down? He goes, I've been waiting to have this meal with you for a long time. That would really be cool, wouldn't it? And just like the two believers, the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, remember he came in, Jesus came in and had a meal with them. And then at the end of the meal, I think they saw the scars on his hands. And can you imagine that you would see the scars of Jesus? You'd almost, you know, being a believer, if you saw them, you'd want to cry right there. You'd want to weep because that was Jesus, right? Wouldn't that be so cool? That he would come in and dine with you, you with him and him with you. You'd have this beautiful conversation about God and the world and just anything you can imagine. Question you had, he answered it with such wisdom, right? You'd be in awe. And then at the end of that meal, you'd see the two scars on his hand and you'd say, my Lord and Savior. Wow. You'd want to kneel down and kiss his hands. That'd be a beautiful thing. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that verse out there. If anybody's hanging on the fence, you know, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Hopefully tonight's the night you open it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? Because I know that Russ is praising the Lord up in heaven. I'm going to play another praise song. I'm going to come back. Okay? And I've been talking about the heart. So there's a song called Head to the Heart. And I think it's appropriate for right now. So I hope you enjoy Head to the Heart.
More than words, more than good.
head to the heart. You know, it's, you know, we know God, and we know Him, and we open our hearts to Him. And that song talks about, you know, even if I look like a fool, right? It doesn't matter if I look like a fool. I mean, that I think that's the point where, you know, your passion for God, for Christ, when you get to the point where I don't really care what other people think about my faith, right? Even if I get into worship service, I look like a fool, or I share my faith in public, or whatever, and you get some people shake their heads because we're in the world, they're of the world. So we're in it, we're walking, we're trying to make a difference as Christians, right? In any way we can. And that's why I'm talking about, we need that passion, folks. And that's talking about the heart. And I pray that that all of us, you know, that passion ignites from a little, you know, starts like a little flame, you know, and you just realize, you know what, this world is, you know, if I don't have faith, if I don't have God, what do I have? I mean, it's, what does it profit a man, isn't it? I think it's in, I'm trying to think where, but anyway, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul, right? I mean, you're clinging to stuff, you're worried about money, you're worried about this, you're worried about that. What's he, in 2 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties upon him, for he cares about you. You know, some of the richest people in the world are the poorest folks, right? They don't have much, you know, but yet they're the richest because they've got God in their heart. They've got Jesus in their heart. They've got family that loves them. They're blessed to have a meal on the table, right? A job, neighbors, family, like I said, that love them. A God that cares about them. Not a God sitting way up, planets, you know, light years away. The God is right. He's actually in our heart, and he loves us. And he didn't come to condemn us, but to save us, right? So if he didn't come to condemn us, which means he didn't come to count our sins, but, I mean, we are accountable, right? There's consequences. Sins gets us in trouble, some of our bad decisions, right? But God doesn't hold it against us. He just wants us to have a heart that wants to say, Lord, I screwed up. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And he does. He casts those sins into the ocean and forgets about them. That's a beautiful thing. Isn't it nice that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ? You can't say that about any other religion. Can't say it, right? I think the Muslims don't even know if they're going to heaven. They're doing their good works and everything, trying to please God. We should work to please God, live a life pleasing, but you can be content, you can be satisfied, you can be happy, you can feel comfortable in your faith, right? Hopefully it increases day by day, but feel comfortable the fact that, you know what, if I die, I go to sleep. You know, my mother passed away in her sleep. Beautiful. To me, it's a beautiful thing. My mother had saving faith. You know, one morning she went to sleep and didn't wake up. Woke up in the arms of Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. No worries. You're content. That's another word. You know, like I'm saying, critical thinking, the C word. Let's add content with that. You know, be critical because you're criticizing the. Wait, here's how I want to say it, and I'll kind of put it in a nutshell this way. Let us, as lovers of God, be critical of a world, a corrupt world that is destroying the creation that God has blessed us with. This beautiful world, right? He created the family. He's blessed us with so much. You know, he's blessed us with a beautiful immune system, a beautiful array of plants and herbs that can heal us and other methods, right? Amen. And yet we have a world trying to destroy that. So we need to be critical of that, no matter what angle they're coming from. Pray for wisdom from the Lord that you can see this coming, right? Gather up the knowledge and the wisdom you need to fight this, right, in a Christian way. Amen. And be content in the Lord. I one time got a coffee cup that says, I pray that you have enough. Basically, I pray that you're content. And isn't that all we need? We don't need excesses. Be content. You're blessed, right? We're in America. God has blessed us with this beautiful nation, right? 245 years to do our part. Be critical in a Christian, positive way. Be content with the Lord and all the blessings you have. And that's a simple nutshell that I'm going to kind of end this show tonight. I had more to say, but you know what? I'm kind of going to hold off maybe to the next show. And so I want to thank you for joining the show tonight. I pray blessings upon you and your family, friends. Thank you, Casey, for your text. It kind of pushed me in the right direction because that made me think of the word passion, which the Lord Jesus was so passionate towards his Father, passionate towards the world he created, passionate towards us, passionate towards all the good things that he made, right? What a blessing, right? If you have come to Christ, that's the biggest blessing in your life, that you have faith, a miracle. It's a miracle. Without the Holy Spirit, I don't care how smart, how many degrees you have, how you can figure this out, how you can figure that out, how you can analyze, you can research. If the Holy Spirit doesn't open up your heart, you don't have faith. So you could be as simple as simple can be, or you can be as advanced in degrees, either way of the spectrum. If you have saving faith in Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. It's a miracle, folks. And if you have faith, you are a walking miracle. And God bless you. And I say blessings to everyone listening. And I pray blessings upon my family, for myself. Lord, bless me and keep me, and my wife, Mary Jo, and all my family members. And again, thank you, Casey, for blessing me with that text. And Lord, so many hearts out there, Lord. A lot of good people, people of good intent. But isn't that one, what is it? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I'm not trying to sound like a smarty pantser, but there's a lot of good people that are good intentions, right? I mean, they're sinners, right? Just like me. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But Lord, I'm just praying that today would be a beautiful day where many hearts would be open. And I pray that that this message would be heard. I pray that the Holy Spirit move me tonight to say what I said. And Lord, just thank you for everything. And if there's storms and rough times for myself or others, I pray, Lord, that you would help us learn from that and realize that you're always there with us. And do not fear, for I am with you. That's what the Lord says. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for the Lord is with you. And I say good night and amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Good night, folks.
All the bitter, weary ways, the endless striving day by day, you better have the strength to pray in the valley low. And how hard your fight has been, how deep the pain within, wounds that no one else has seen, hurts too much to show. And all the doubt you're standing in between, and all the way to
shrink when you find the one who knows. The chains of death.